Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They're the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 19th through the 21st, 2017 at the Doubletree in South Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information. Wargaming Recon is made possible by listeners like you. Become a Patreon backer to get behind-the-scenes content and new episodes before everyone else, starting at $1 per month. Visit wargamingrecon.com/Patreon to become a Patreon backer. Welcome to Wargaming Recon. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. Wargaming Recon is the only member of the TSR Podcast Network to discuss historical and New England gaming. This is episode 180, Havoc 2017. So I want to welcome all of you, new and longtime listeners alike. I think you're in for an interesting and monumental episode because this is the first time ever in the history of the show over 10 years where we are able to do a really cool thing, and that is to record with other people in person. And I know you're thinking, wait a sec, that should not be hard because you just get a mic, you go somewhere, you get some people together. It's not that easy, oddly enough. It's easier to record at a distance. You do it online, you go through Google Hangouts or whatever, and you can get people anywhere else in the world. It's easier to record with someone in Norway or in England than it is with a guy down the street. And I can't tell you why, but that's just how it is. However, we've been able to make it happen, and we're doing it here at Havoc 2017. And so I want to say I think you're in for a treat. And not just because of that, but also because I am joined by two very interesting and delightful people who are co-hosts for the show. You've heard them before. I want to introduce Adrian Benson. Adrian, how are you today?
Hey, John. Doing great, thanks.
Are you as excited as I am for this monumental and historic episode?
Absolutely, I am. Can't you tell?
I can tell by your voice, and I know everyone can tell. And those who are here can see it on your face, the smiles and the joy. And just, it's what we do here at Wargaming Recon. And you're not the only one here with me today, right?
Correct.
So we also got Mr. Alex Christopoulos. Alex, how are you?
Good. How's it going?
Good. I am excited also that you're here on the show because for a long time, I know you felt like you were languishing, only just kind of come on every so often, and we got to change that.
We are in the process
we
of
are.
Changing it.
History is being
here.
Made.
We're here. And now, even though, like you said, we can record in the same room, so the benefit of living down the road from you actually makes it so that we can record together now.
It does, and we're lucky enough that we have numerous game stores in Nord, which is really odd. We live just outside of Boston, and the town we live in, there's like two of them.
Yeah, we do have a little hotbed.
Weird, right? Yeah. I mean, they're not like minis, really. I mean, we've been to both. Adrian, you've been to one of them.
I've only been to the one. Yeah, they're definitely not like minis based. They're all
magic and stuff.
Magic and D&D type stuff, which is fine. That's where they make the money.
Exactly, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, actually, the benefit of it is that we could record there if we so wanted because you go like on a weeknight when there's not going to be magic, Friday Night Magic or anything like that, fairly empty for both of them, and they seem happy to have someone come in the store and talk about the store and say that, hey, we're recording at the store. So it's probably a thing that we could do. We
can bring something new to them.
We could, and that's one of the things I like to do here with the show. You know, we try to give back. We try to enrich the community and promote the community as well, which is why we're here at Havoc. We're at Marianas Park in Shrewsbury, Massachusetts, kind of central Mass, for those of you who don't know. It's near Worcester. And
Worcester.
Sorry,
Worcester. If you're looking for it on a map, it's not spelled the way it's pronounced.
Worcester. I'm sorry.
Worcester, pronounced Worcester.
For those of you who are not familiar with Massachusetts and our interesting ways of pronouncing things, Havoc's been here for a long time. And Adrian, you and I have come a few times, but we really just kind of come, popped in, shopped, and then left.
Mostly, yeah. We haven't, I don't think we've actually ever played a game here. No, that's not true. We played in a demo game 1 year. But yeah, for the most part, we just come out and look around.
We did?
And,
demo of what?
You know, I don't even remember the name of it. It was a board game, though.
Oh, I do. It said they were kickstarting it, and they'd been to TotalCon. They were 3D printing everything.
Yeah.
Plastic, for the life of me, can't. So if you are listening and you've made this game, I apologize that we can't remember what it was. I remember enjoying it, though. Yeah, not as much as you did, but I remember liking it.
Yeah, no, it was fun. It was interesting. But, yeah, that was the only game we played. And usually we just come out, walk around, and see who's here and see people that we haven't seen for a while and then go home. I don't really know why that is. But
do you know, it's a good show. It really is a good gaming convention here. It's a small one, but that's okay. They have a nice variety of historical games, and we're actually really lucky that we've been able to come kind of as, like, to promote and review the con in a way, which is something we work out with other conventions. We did at TotalCon. It's a thing, arrangement we make. We're doing it at Huzzah, although Alex, you're not able to come with us, which is unfortunate.
Well, we'll see. I wasn't supposed to be here either.
No, that's true, but you can't give me the hope, because then I'm like that wife who just nags you.
that's true.
And I'm like, so, Alex, there's this thing you would like, and you should come, so.
So about the war games.
So let's talk about Havoc a little bit, right? Because although, Adrian, you and I have come for a few years, and this is your first time,
Alex. This is my first time. I've wanted to come for a long time, but it just never added up, and finally it did.
It has quite a history to it. And I did a little research, and normally people might be like, history, boring, but again, we're historical and tabletop war games here in New England, so we talk about history and these kind of things. And for those of you listening, if you're like, I don't know if I want to listen to this and you just want to read it, you don't have to worry because we have show notes. You actually don't have to pay attention to detail to anything that we do here on the show because we're going to talk about a lot of things. And you just go to the show notes, wargamingrecon.com/WR180. That's wargamingrecon.com/WR180. And you can get the history and all the stuff we're going to discuss. But Havoc is the longest running historical, one of the longest running historical wargaming conventions in all of New England. This is their 33rd continuous year.
Wow.
Started in 1985 at Waltham's South Middle School. A bunch of guys got together and said, we should have a gaming convention. They did it in the cafeteria. In 94, they held it at the Framingham Sheraton. The first time they broke 250 attendees. A lot of people, 250. In 95, they created what they call the Dave Award. It's for Best of Show. It's in honor of Dave Donovan, who had passed away and was helpful in getting everything together and coalescing everything. Real inspiration to the Havoc community. 04, it moved to here, Mirana's Park in Shrewsbury. In 2010, they created a new award, the Al Award, in honor of Al Garnache for the most visually appealing game. And then in 2013, they started doing Best of Time Slot Awards. Those are sponsored by the Hobby Bunker in Malden. And co-host Mike Payne, who's actually setting up and running a game in the other room, and not here with us, he's missing out, but he won a Best of Time Slot in 2014 for his Hanghai Raiders game.
I think a guest on the show won one this year already, I believe.
Oh, Mike Johns?
I think so.
Oh, see, I did not see him.
We'll have to try to catch up with him.
Well, we do, because when he was on the show, we had talked about how he's for hire for commission and stuff, and he has some terrain to buy that I need to...
Award-winning.
Yeah, now. Apparently. No, don't say that. He'll charge extra.
He probably charges you extra anyway.
He probably does. Anyone would. I was packing for today, and I'm going through my backpack to get everything together, put it in, and I still had stuff in it from TotalCon. I pulled this baggie, and it's that bag he gave me of the kitty scissors the first day.
Yeah, I found that the other day.
I almost brought it, and I was like, it's really funny, but I did not. One of the reasons why people come to Havoc, though, is to shop. I mean, that's why we've come, Adrian, right?
Mostly.
And they have a variety of dealers. Not today, though. I mean, the weather here is...
Yeah, we have driving snow right now.
It's ridiculous, right? Depending on where you are, there's a lot of snow, there's a lot of sleet, there's rain. Who the hell knows, right?
Yeah, it's not a typical Havoc, unfortunately.
No, it's really small, and I'd love to know what their numbers are. But there's only, like, two, maybe three vendors out there?
Two that I saw.
And they usually, it plastered all the exterior of the main room. Usually it's covered. Yeah. The Hobby Bunker's usually here, which is a reason why I loved coming. And didn't see them at all. So Matt didn't come, which is, they must be slammed. But not very many vendors. Usually there's a lot, though. So you can do a lot of really good shopping. You don't have to go very far for it.
Yeah, no. So if this is your first year at Havoc, don't be put off. It's very unusual.
You might have a better turnout tomorrow, too. I mean, the weather here is, you know, like we said, driving right now. Tomorrow it's supposed to be about 50.
Yeah, that's true.
50 and sunny.
50 and sunny, so.
And it is an all-weekend convention. They have a night slot on Fridays, and then they do all day Saturday, several slots in, and then they do some on Sunday. And we've never come on a Sunday. Or I've never had anyone.
No.
But I like, some conventions require you to register, and you actually have to pay to register in order to go and shop, which I always thought was just crummy. You shouldn't have to pay if you want to go shop.
If you just want to go and look around. And a lot of cons do that.
But you don't have to do that here.
No. Huzzah, you don't have to do it there either.
And I think TotalCon's free for that, too.
Yeah. But some, like a few, which is kind of odd because a lot of the conventions, this one's not, but a lot of these conventions happen at hotels. So you get, like, just other hotel guests wandering around. It's like, what's going on in there? It looks kind of cool. Of course you want them to come in and look around.
Well, definitely. And actually, I mean, here, this is I'm going to get it wrong. I think it's like a Lithuanian social club hall.
I believe so, yeah.
It's a function hall.
Sure.
But it's near a lot of shopping.
Yeah.
And so if people know, and I mean, they've been doing it. This is the 33rd year. People know that it's here and that they can come shop. And like maybe someone's going shopping and like the husband. I'm going to be sexist because let's face it, it's mostly men playing historical war games. Not that women aren't allowed or encouraged and love to see more.
There's definitely some women out there that are going to punch you in the face for saying that.
But, their husbands are shopping and they're here coming gaming and then they can go and pick some stuff up with the vendor. But this year, it's hard. And I was actually disappointed because I love seeing Dave battle. They have their vendor booth here usually.
Yeah.
Chris Parker runs stuff. He's a Patreon backer. And you can get, like, beautiful 40mm models from him, the rules and everything. Just is gorgeous. And his games are... We were going to play in his Lightbulbs game.
No, it was Day of Battle.
Was it Day of Battle? Of course, it got canceled. He wasn't able to make it, but... That's a shame. Silver Eagle War Game Supplies is actually here. They have a lot of stuff. They have a lot of bolt action this year, which was nice.
Yep.
Some terrain.
I'm going to buy something. I'm declaring.
Right I'm now. Holding you to
what,
that, Alex.
I don't know what I'm going to get, but I'm buying something.
Oh. You tell me what your budget is, and I will hold you to that. And then
my budget is not very good.
We'll find something for you to buy.
I'll try to push it. Oh, I'm very good at finding things for other people to spend their money on.
Yeah, you tend to do that. Testify. Every text I get is you should get this.
You should. Look at this. It's so cool.
It usually starts with you should, ..
Yeah. Well, I want to make it clear.
This will be an excellent webcam for you to spend $60 on. It will be a big help for the show. And so now I have a $60 webcam that I haven't actually taken out of the box yet.
Your fault. You got it Amazon Prime, free 2-day shipping. You probably bought it through the Smile program, so you benefited some sort of wonderful charity or thing that you like.
Yes, not Wargaming Recon. My wife's business, sorry.
Well, hey, you share a home with her. It's understandable. So it's doing good in the world. You get in that, and you'll use it for a super secret project we're working on down the road.
Super secret.
Unless you're a Patreon backer, wargamingrecon.com/Patreon, and then you might know a little tidbit about such a thing, but if not,
it's very exciting, though.
Miniman Toy Soldiers usually comes. They have a lot of really nice looking figs, actually, and I didn't see them.
No.
Brigadier's Bookshelf, and I'm bummed. I knew he wasn't going to come, though, this year because it's his wife's birthday. But Dean Emerson, great friend of the show, and his stuff is amazing. These great secondhand books, previously loved, but the great condition. I got the Campaigns of Napoleon. The Chandler book for like dirt cheap, good condition.
Oh, have you read it? That's the important thing.
Do you know what? It's funny. So I bought it from
him.
No. That's not it. The answer is I haven't read the one I bought from him, but work bought an ebook version because I work at a library, so they bought an ebook that you can get online and you access. And I've read some of that.
Okay.
So I've actually looked at it and I've been like, how nice it is, and it actually opened pages and stuff. But I haven't read the copy that I got from Dean. Partly because I'm like, it's in really nice condition, and I don't want to mess it up.
Oh, yeah.
And I think I heard somewhere, it's like a $100 book, right?
If you can find it. It's been out of print for a while.
So
I have a very weird...
I bought it brand new. It was $70, and that was years ago.
Well, I mean, there's a little bit of damage on the cover, but it's in the plastic wrap.
So I have this thing with any book where I must keep the spine intact. And if that spine gets broken, oh, man.
I hear.
Woe to those who borrow my books.
Crack!
And return them with a broken spine.
I mean, I don't blame you. You spend money on these things, you want them to last, you want them to look good. And nowadays...
It's like I read with tweezers.
Do you put on those special gloves?
I do.
You're like in the archives, you need those cotton gloves so you don't get the oils on, and how dare you damage such a thing.
Yeah, it's, it could be like the latest like John Grissom book. And I'm just...
Temperature-controlled environment, you got to put on your hazmat suit,
read
anti-static gear.
Yep.
Don't bring anything flammable or liquid anywhere near. Keep 50 feet away.
Exactly.
Everyone, please back up. Very important work here.
In my mind, I'm building this library, my own personal library.
Okay.
So all the books must be kept.
So you think you have in the Vatican Secret Archives there in your home?
Original. I have a few Dan Brown books.
You do? So. You're close. There you go. Da Vinci's in your house.
Exactly.
Wow. I should just come and like pay an entry fee to see your special archives.
Yeah, you should.
I really should. Mark my words, everyone. You too can pay a special fee to get into Alex's Special Archives. You heard it here first. Wargaming Recon. There's a variety of games. Not as many this year, though, because they've canceled. We've talked about the snow, right?
Some really nice tables, though.
Gorgeous tables. So Mike Payne's table is always fantastic.
Yeah.
Just, it's beautiful. One of the nicest tables I've ever seen.
Yes.
And he did it again. I'm surprised he made it. He was surprised he made it.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, they had really foul weather farther north of here, which is where he lives, so.
About a foot of very heavy, wet snow is what he has told us, and I know a lot of other people are impacted because a lot of people come. They come from
But unlike everybody else who didn't come because of the snow, Mike's not a
I sissy. Love how we are such a good family-friendly podcast here. We were signed up for a game that got canceled.
We were.
The Battle of Legnano, May 29, 1176. And I was actually really excited about it.
Yeah.
Probably because I've been telling you guys, we got this game, day battle, we're supposed to review it, do it on the show. And we don't even need to pay anything because you can just print out the armies that I gave you guys. And we're like, yeah. And then we move on. We will do it, but
today is April Fool's. So.
This is not a joke, though. This is an April Fool's storm, but there's no joke about it being quiet here. There's supposed to be some Lion Rampant going on today, GM'd by Richard Waring.
Oh, I didn't see that.
I don't know what time slot it is.
Oh. Don't know.
I could look it up, but we can't get into the Wi-Fi because it's password protected, which is weird.
Right.
That's supposed to be Timothy Kessling, who's said he's no longer able to make it because of the weather, but he was supposed to be GMing some games by Ganesha Games.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I was looking forward to
seeing those.
He posted
it in the Barbarians Facebook group.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It GMed by Mike Payne. And Gary's like, oh, wait, no, the name, I know. Why? And because you were talking about
that's
Alex.
That's right in my wheelhouse, yeah. That's too bad.
There's that new game, the naval game. He has Mighty Monsters, which he's
going to do. Something in Galleons.
Yeah, and he's going to be using the Pirates of the Spanish Main WizKids, or is that Wizards of the Coast, the collectible card game that's out of print.
It was WizKids, right? Yeah,
I think
WizKids.
So he's going to be using those ships, which are really nice. I snapped together credit card kind of quality plastic. Dave Valentine, who was supposed to be, can't come. And I was bummed because that's a game I would love to play. His Deerfield Raid 1704 uses Osprey's Unguard rules, and he ran out of Totalcon.
He ran out of Totalcon, yeah. It was a really nice looking table.
He didn't get credit for it, but he ran it.
Yeah.
How are the rules for that? That's one that I looked at.
I have not looked at Unguard.
I'm told it's good, but a little finicky for some things.
Yeah.
I don't have practical experience
sure.
with it.
Yeah, me neither. That's the thing with those Osprey rules. They crank them out so fast, and there's so many of them. They're
you
not
never
expensive,
know.
But they're very hit or
oh,
miss.
Oh, but I love it. It's so good, though. Like, it's like every month you get, like,
well, they can be good.
Nick Rulebook.
Yeah, it's
or they can
exactly
be
what
crap.
It is. Yeah. Some of them are very bad.
I don't know. They're not that
bad. Oh, come on, Alex.
Some of them
You're
are very
wrong
bad.
Yet again. It's the whole cigar box Matt thing all over again.
I've listened to the podcast since that, and I think everything has supported, including listeners' comments, have supported everything I've said.
To quote a president, wrong. Wrong fake news.
I don't know.
The media is out to get us here at William Hill. No. What else is supposed to be here? Dan Eustace is supposed to be doing his Access and Allies minis game for A Bridge Too Far, based on the film and the actual Operation Market Garden and stuff. Mm-hmm. I didn't see it, so I don't know what time he's doing. He usually does morning stuff, so we may have missed him. I was looking for that. There's supposed to be some Black Powder, Pulp Alley going on. Mike Johns is supposed to be running Frostgrave. He's here because he ran it last night. I haven't seen him. But I know he's here
because
he said he was going to be here. He's like, I live 10 minutes down the road. I don't know if that's true, but
Or
it felt like 10 minutes down the road.
Why would you think he would lie about that?
Well, because I think here in Massachusetts, we talked about this, Adrian.
If you would, take that attitude towards more things, you would go more places.
But here in Massachusetts, we're it's down the road, and it might not actually be it depends on the traffic and the weather. Like, 10 minutes, you live 10 minutes away from me, Alex.
We are 10 minutes, we are down the road from here. The road is 495. And or 95, or, the Mass Pike, but that is a road, and we are just down
just
there.
Down there.
That's true.
It really is a question of getting on two highways, and then you're here.
That's true. Yeah. And do you know what? It's the central part of the state. It's not bad to get it. It's accessible.
Yeah.
It takes a little bit. But that's why it's nice. You go with people. You get an audiobook or something to listen to. You listen to a podcast.
TotalCon is closer, technically.
I don't know about that. I haven't done the research.
It's mathematically.
Is that a word now?
Mathematically.
Mathematically. Let me write that down.
scribble.
Mathematically.
Mathematically. Yeah. Okay.
What were we talking about?
Yeah, sorry.
Apparently, mathematically, we are the podcast about language and words and their origins. I didn't realize you were a dictionary.
Feel free to mathematically prove me wrong on that.
You must be fun to play Scrabble with.
I, I win a lot.
I'm sure you do. So, are you sure that's a word? Yeah, yeah, just trust me.
Mathematically. Look it up.
I wish I had the Scrabble dictionary with me. I'd be like, well.
If you, you know, the Wi-Fi is scrambled or whatever.
Password protected.
Yeah,
can't get in.
You can't find that up. But no, mathematically is definitely a word that I made up.
I thought it might be. So we took a quick peek around before we started recording to look at some of the games. The games look good. It looks like a lot of
That's one
variety.
Thing about it. Yeah, there is. That's one thing about Havoc. The games always look good. The guys that tend to run stuff out here are fairly serious about their wargaming, so the tables are always really nice.
There was a Trench Wars. I haven't had, like,
I just
walked by it, and I need to go back and take a deeper look at that.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, that looks cool.
Yeah, the whole World War One thing has really kind of taken off as a gaming genre. It hasn't before. I don't know what the deal is all of a sudden.
And that table is like a 6x4 of trenches. It's like a trench maze.
It's huge.
Yeah. It's really cool.
I gotta say, whenever I come and I look at the tables, it always makes me feel worse about myself because I know I can never do anything that looks as good as that.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, well, you know,
very diminished.
Like some people, they see that, you know, like they look at a beautifully painted model, right? And they're like, I too can someday aspire to do such a thing. And I look at it, I'm like, why bother? I'm never, ever gonna be that good. And probably because I have that attitude of me never being that good. But like, I look
at
the tables.
To be fair, you're never, ever gonna paint a model.
True. I have, you know, I have recently ish, within the past 12 months, painted a model. But
what was that?
It was a Flames of War objective marker for...
Okay, yeah, I vaguely remember that. All right.
I did that as part of the Extra Life 24-Hour Gamerthon charity.
An objective marker.
Okay, laugh it up, Furball.
yeah.
Hey, that's good, though.
Wait, thank you. I thought you meant the Star Wars quote.
Yeah.
I pull it out of it.
Yep.
I do that all the time, though. I look at stuff that other people have painted, and I look at it, and I'm like, you know... If I just had a little bit of patience and a little bit of talent, I could do that too. But I have neither, so.
I believe in you, buddy.
You have the talent. The patience, I don't think you will ever get.
No.
It's just, I'm trying to be like, but it just, I think you want to get it done. You want to move on to the next thing.
That's the thing. If you were just going to do one figure for display or whatever, that would be all right. But, you know, if you're painting an army for, say, Black Powder, British Grenadier, and you got to paint 250 figures, my life won't last long enough for me to do that.
No, heavens no. And I don't know if either of you watch that the War Games Soldiers and Strategy YouTube channel Christy Beale does.
Yeah, yeah.
She just paid. The stuff looks amazing, and I know she's doing it to show, like, you two can paint so well and, like, look how wonderful and you punch.
Yeah, but you notice,
I ain't going to have time to paint an army like that.
No.
I mean,
and,
really.
And you notice when they show the video of her actually doing the painting, I mean, if I could actually speed my hand up the
way
they
so
can speed up a freaking YouTube video, sure, yeah, I could do it.
She's just like, and look, and I do this.
Yeah,
and
it's like a half-hour video on double speed.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I understand why.
It took me
an
hour and a half to paint this guy, but through the miracle of technology.
I wish I could paint that fast, and I would do such. And do you know that's part of my problem? Because I'm so darn slow.
Yeah.
It takes me forever. Maybe because I don't paint often enough, but like even when I was,
that's the thing.
I'm slow.
The more you do it, the better you get at it.
Oh, that's definitely true. But.
And, you know, the quicker you can do it. And I think that the bottom end of what you do comes up, like your floor raises, you know what I mean? So when you're painting, if you're gonna paint a unit or whatever, the greens come out quicker because you just already know, your brush kind of knows what to do. You have the muscle memory, you know, that sort of thing.
Well, and it's helpful, I think, if you have a designated space for it, so you can have things laid out. So you just, you know, like, I have these colors here. So you don't have to hunt for the color or the brush. You just brush it here, you grab the brush, I go here, and then you're done. And
a lot of people will assembly line this stuff, too. Like, they'll just sort of, you know, red coats, boom, done. Black hat, boom, done. And they'll do, like, 10 figures on a popsicle stick, depending on, you know, whatever scale they're doing.
Yeah, that's actually what I do. I don't not want a popsicle stick necessarily, but I'll, like, if I need 16 figures for a unit, I'll prime 16 guys, then paint the pants, paint the coats. Yeah, just exactly what you said.
I don't know. Your guys come out good.
I think they do, too.
Base coat and dip.
Yeah, but
thank God for Army Painter Quick Shade.
Right, I know.
Oh, it makes a difference.
What color do you usually use? What tone, I should say?
Like strong tone.
The strong tone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the strong tone, but for female miniatures, I've wanted to use and have used in the past light. I think that works a little bit better.
I need to get a can of the light or
I like
whatever,
the medium
whatever mid-tone
too.
Is because...
Yeah,
the,
I think that's the one.
The medium
we're talking about that same.
Because the light is like too light, I think.
Oh, okay. So there's one in between?
Yeah, there's
there
strong,
is.
There's a medium, and then light
but
or whatever
that pirate figure that I just painted for Blood and Plunder looked really good. colors are all bright and vibrant, which is kind of what I want for a Caribbean pirate.
Yeah.
But then I put the strong tone on it, and now he looks like a World War II grunt.
Yes. So yeah, you need the lighter.
You do need the lighter one.
The lighter tones. Mm-hmm. But still, that's a great product for somebody like me. Or
like a nice sepia wash works a lot.
Yeah.
It's kind of pulls the same effect. You could just sort of like sepia wash the whole thing.
Yeah.
And you won't overdo it too much.
Some people like to paint them on the sprues, which is something I've never really been able to do, because I think you have a lot of cleanup.
No. I couldn't do that.
Jamie Searle from Norway is doing it that way. He's doing black powder. I don't know if he's doing Repo or Napoleonics. I can't remember.
He's doing Napoleonics, I believe.
Because he bought the Perry box set for it. And he's painting them on the sprues, and he's been doing really good. He said minimal cleanup, but I worried that...
That's crazy. That's awesome. That's awesome to be able to do it.
Well, see, I think it's great if it'll work for him, but like for me, I'm too messy as is, so just like I know I would have way too much cleanup from
all of it. What do you do when you pop them off the sprue and you have to do...
Because you get a file, right?
Yeah, right. That's what I mean.
And that's what I don't get.
Yeah, and then it's...
That's
and interesting. For me, I kind of got to visualize... Like, if it's on the sprue, you got to visualize how everything is going to put together and where you got to end a line of one color, start the line of the next. Yeah, I don't think that would work for me. But hey, everybody's got their own method, so...
No, I'm glad it works for him. Or at least so far, it seems to me. And I know if it's not, he's going to say, hey, John, it's not working. Why are you telling people it is? But it seems to me, so far... Actually, I'm looking out the window as we're talking, and I see new people coming into Abbott. That's nice.
In.
Snow's coming down a little heavier, but that's okay.
It's coming down sideways.
It is coming down sideways. What else do we want to talk about Havoc? I have pros and cons we can talk about, and other cool games that you guys happen to see, like the venue. I like that we're in a bar. Lounge, I'm sorry. There's three bars.
I love that we're in a bar. I'm not thrilled with the fact that there's no bartender on duty yet, but it is a bar.
No, but I mean, we can take care of that after. It's a family-friendly convention, but it's one where such a thing is allowed. Like some of them,
a lot of
you go
them
to,
just,
you can't.
No. Yeah.
And then you go to one like Huzzah and you bring it with you at the table.
My kind of game.
And yet, they're becoming even more family-friendly. I think there's been a whole move in tabletop conventions towards making it a more family-friendly event. They know all of us wargamers are getting older. A lot of us have starting families if we hadn't already, or coming back, or whatever. Right. And so you want to do something where the whole family can come together.
No, I think it's a great idea.
And I think, walking around earlier, there's a lot of kids.
Yeah, and that's one thing
it's
I really
nice.
Like.
Yeah, it's nice.
When you come in to Havoc, they make you get your pre-reg form, or not pre-reg, you're registered. And at the bottom, they have the code of conduct, which is great. And I like one of the things, it's like, you know, it's a family-friendly thing, keep that in mind, blah, blah, blah. And you have to sign saying that you're... And I like that they put it in your face. Because we had that episode not long ago talking about pet peeves. And one of the things I was like, I hate when cons don't have clearly post like code of conduct. Like, you don't know what is or is not allowed. So
right.
If I'm going to be held responsible for something, I want to know what I'm being held, you know, responsible for. So I like that here. They have it, and it's not long. It's just like five things, whatever, and you're golden. Nice and easy.
Yeah.
Havoc's really affordable, too, when you think about gaming conventions. So you were at PAX, Alex, right?
Oh, yeah.
I would not call PAX affordable, would you?
Well, no. I mean, it's a different beast.
True. But if you, let's say you have a budget and you're like, I get to go to a gaming convention and you're open to either type, but you know your money is what your money is.
Sure.
And you're like, well, where am I going to put my money this year?
Well, to come in here and look around is free.
True.
So, I mean, you can't really beat that. You can't put a price on free.
Although freedom ain't free.
Can't put a price on it.
No.
So, I mean, you know, to just come around and see everything... And if you're like me, you have no problem watching other people play a game. I thoroughly enjoy doing that. Like, I could sit at somebody's table and just watch the full game to conclusion, 2 hours. And like you said, you can come in and shop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really cool to do that. But, yes, compared to PAX, this is definitely more affordable. PAX is, I would say, a luxury item.
I think it's only $40 to get in here for the whole weekend.
$40 for the weekend, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, comparatively, PAX is like...
It's like $40 a day, right?
Yeah, it's like $50 a day, yeah.
If you're a GM here, you get in for free, unless you're going to play a game, and then it's only $10.
Yeah.
So that's not bad. You play as many games as you want, as long as you run something. And I think it's nice because it kind of encourages people to try running something for the first time. So that maybe people won't be as intimidated as I am. Like, you see all the nice tables, and you're like, I can do that, too. So you GM, but you still want to play, only cost you a tenner. I mean, that's less than a tenner of gas.
Yeah, no, that's not bad at all.
Why do you have a Game Master tag, by the way? He does. Did you know you did?
No.
Oh.
Thanks for pointing it out, though. Just for clarity, I'm not running anything.
I'm expecting you to run me a game later.
That's not true. We are officially listed as an event here at Havoc for the live show.
So, we are.
So
however,
we count as game masters.
Your tag does not say game
Mine
master.
Says full weekend, and I'll tell you, I had some issues.
This is Total Con all over again. Who's the game master?
So I had issues.
I don't really have a hard spot with that. Although,
I will tell you, listeners thought otherwise.
I do think that the guy who painted all the models, provided most of the terrain, actually read the rules and ran the game, probably should get the Game Master credit, even though the other guy is the one who is in tight with all the con people.
Well, as we
not
know...
Not sure what we got.
I think it was in the footnotes that you were
I don't
part
think,
of it.
Yeah, oh yeah, and this guy in the convention who also invite you, he might be at the table, yeah.
Well, I want you to know, you're not the only game from Total Con where I heard some interesting things happened.
So you were the game master for other people's games too?
So, when I registered for here, apparently...
So we're just going to ignore the whole game master controversy?
That was my hope. We touched on it at the show for the other convention.
I guess it's your show. You can move on if you want.
It is the community show. And the community would like to know about registration for you.
All right,
I'm sure.
Go ahead, then. Fine.
So for some reason, I had 3 email addresses tied to my account, which was really weird. But they took care of things so quickly. It made it easy. And then could actually register for stuff. And got signed in. And everything was wonderful. It just made it nice and smooth and easy. And
you do have like 3 email addresses, though. You've got the Wargaming.
Well, I got like I got a personal one. I got like 3 for the show. I got... Yeah. But we've transitioned to jonathan@wargamingrecon.com. Transitioned a year ago to that. And so I don't know why. I must not have been able to update something.
Maybe.
I'm going to blame user error on me for that.
Okay.
Because
me too. That's fair.
It probably was. I mean, let's be honest. It probably was. So things worked out, though. It's nice and easy.
Yep.
We talked about the cost again here. What we didn't say, though, is although it's $40 to get in, if you're a kid, I think kids 14 and under, heavily discounted. It's like half price, I think.
Yes.
So it really encourages you to bring your family, bring the little ones. They might have a burgeoning interest in this kind of stuff. So you can say, yeah, come on with mom, come on with dad, come on all of us, and let's see what you like and give it a go. I believe they encourage that if you do that, the kids, you need to stick. Don't just drop the kid off at the table and go run away somewhere else.
Yeah, it's not a babysitting. Game master babysitting service.
No. Play the game with your kid. It's just, I think, a nice thing to do, if nothing else. But
I've heard that that does happen at other cons, as you guys kind of mentioned.
I've heard that too.
It can.
But I'm glad that's not the case here.
Yeah, absolutely. When I was preparing the notes, and I wanted to talk about the actual physical location of the place and the size and everything, and actually I made a note here. It says, the hall is cozy but a good size for the con. And like, we're sitting here, and I mean, it's not cozy. Cozy implies small. It's not small by any
stretch. No, it isn't small by any
stretch. It is a really nice size. Yeah. Spacious. Yeah. You can fit a lot of games here, and they do.
They do, yeah.
They do. I mean, there's already, when I walked in, what, like 8, 9 tables?
At least, because, I mean, they got the main gaming space up here on the main floor.
And these were not 6x4 tables. These are like...
No, they're bigger.
12x whatever tables.
Yeah. And then there's extra gaming space downstairs, so there's a whole, like, first level basement, whatever you want to call it, where they have tons of extra space there. So go in, and there's even, like, some smaller sub-rooms in there, too, with the game.
Yeah, space is definitely not a problem here.
So plenty of room for people. You want to run something, I'm sure they can find the space for it. It's nice. It's really nice. What else do we want to say? Look at the bar. We talked about that.
We do have the bar.
Adults can use the bar. It's actually a nice place. You see someone, after a game, you want to just go and you said you can recap the game.
Yeah. The bar is actually wrong. It's too bad we don't have a picture of it or whatever.
I'm digging we do need to take a picture of it because I'm digging the two figures.
All right, we'll do that.
If only there was such a thing as a smart tablet mobile device that could take a photo and share it online.
Beam it into space.
If only we had the ability to live in the future, huh? Maybe someday we could do such a thing.
So we will take a picture as well.
And share it onto our social media.
I didn't expect to get made fun of. I just thought it might be nice if people could see the bar.
No, I'm not making fun of you. I agree.
It's interesting, though, because usually I am the victim of this kind of stuff.
Look, for a place that's having a war game convention, they got 2 large-scale miniatures sitting at the bar, or 3 actually.
You got a Mountie, and I'm not sure what the others are.
I don't know. Mountie.
The guy in the middle?
Oh, the guy in the middle is. I can see him through your big head.
I do have a large, cerebral capacity. I got to keep it all in there.
Yeah, whatever.
We'll post them, and then
those of us with larger
intellects, have everyone help us decide what period they're from.
Yes, That'd be a great idea. See, so happy you were able to make it out, Alex.
Yeah, you know.
You keep adding value to here.
Adding value.
I knew we kept you around for a reason. Because we talked once. We're like, that Alex guy, do we want to just keep him as part of the group? Or, like, what do we want to do?
I was a no vote.
I fought
John
for you.
John was a yes.
I was like,
John decides ties.
And you were the one who was right. Really.
I was like, he lives down the street. It's going to be awkward. I'll see him around town. And, like...
That's the only reason.
Absolutely the only reason why we did such a thing. But it's always good that you contribute in the way you... And you do. It's kind of like... I don't know if anyone watches or listens to the MythWits, so they have this co-host on there who's silent for most of it. And, like, they'll do their shtick and whatever, and he's just like, and nothing. And they think, like, what's going on? Like, and the guest might come on and be like, does that guy ever talk? And then he says something, and it's perfect. The zinger, whatever, it just makes it everything better. They're like, that's why we keep him. Lots of love for the MythWits here at Wargaming Recon.
Yes, there is.
We have one of my favorite segments that we can move on to, unless there are other things we want to discuss.
I don't think so.
Okay. So I love the mailbag segment of the show, because I love when listeners can give us feedback and tell us things that they like, things that they think should improve, or just stuff going on in the community.
So Alex, right?
Yes.
We've had,
nice to meet you.
Port of Lab, we got Mr. Mike Payne coming up here to the table. Hey, Mike.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm all right. I got a little break here, so I thought I'd come over and say hi.
That's fantastic.
Pull up a chair.
Grab a seat, my friend. We are talking...
I don't want to stay too long, because I probably should be doing something over there. But...
Well, I think you should be talking into the microphone here.
Well, I know you'd think that.
For the show. So we're talking about some of the things that we love here about Havoc, the location, the variety of games. We talked about you, how beautiful your table is.
Yeah, well, I don't want to... Hop on that.
It's fantastic.
That's okay. We harped on it.
Yeah,
we did. No, I mean, you won a best of time slot for your table, Hang High Raiders. Well, 2 years ago, 2013.
I don't have much competition there, but a lot of people didn't show up.
You got a great table, really fun game to play. A lot of other good looking games there, too.
I heard that everybody was impressed with Mike John's game last night. I didn't make it Friday.
No, I know he ran it. I didn't see pictures of it, but I mean, I know what the table looks like.
Someone told me you got an award for the slot.
Yeah, I think I saw on Facebook that he had the best in time slot.
Yeah, I didn't take time to look at Facebook.
Yeah.
Spent too much time on it anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sorry about the spam. Well, not really. I don't really care. Block me if you don't like it. You know?
Well, I tell you, one of the things I like about Mike John's game is... His table changes every time, so it's the same terrain pieces, but because it's modular, he just mixes it up. He never keeps track of what he does. Kind of like you just put whatever, so it's a new experience.
Yeah, and he's always building something new to it, too. I think sometimes he has to, like, leave some things home.
I think so.
Which I'm not at that stage. I just build smaller things so I can keep adding.
You do. I was thinking some of your stuff would be good for the Blood and Plunder. Did I get the name right? Yeah. Some of your ships and stuff.
I invite any of you guys to take my game for a session, do whatever you want with it. I don't care.
I think that
they'll play. You know?
The models would fit, right?
Yeah,
28.
Almost all the models, the way they painted, the aesthetics of it all, the layout, everything actually, it lends itself really well to it.
Well, somebody just asked me about that new game that's out with the Japanese samurai theme.
All reverie.
Yeah.
The Osprey one.
And I told him he could do the same thing, too. You know, I mean, if you guys, I'm not running rules, I'm running the crap I run.
You know?
But if somebody wants to do something more structured, I'm not against it. I'll play.
You know, sure.
I'm just not running anything out of a rule book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think Chris Rett's been making some new terrain for that because he has that laser cutter thing that he does.
Yeah, actually, I haven't talked to Chris lately, but he's certainly. Someone I had in mind when I said that.
Yeah, he'd be great. He made a bridge, which is gorgeous.
Yeah, nice. Huh?
Made out of MDF, I think, right?
Yeah, I always wanted to build one like that out of scratch, but I just haven't got to it yet.
I think maybe you should see if he could do something for you in exchange for him getting table space.
Yeah, I like making it on my own, though.
I know you do.
Yeah, I mean, he would do something for me. He's made a whole bunch of crap for me I haven't even painted yet.
He's very talented. He does the dice for the show. Very talented guy.
Yeah, he does some nice...
The tokens, too.
Some nice resin cast and stuff, too. He gave me a bunch of things that I haven't even painted yet. I'm dying to get them in there.
I never knew he did resin.
He does all kinds of stuff. He's really good with that stuff.
He's a talented guy.
Yeah, I spent a whole evening down at the house one day. We were just talking about it all night. It's lucky he got me out of there.
So, like, can this guy go? I need to go to bed.
He got you out of there, but did you fill your pockets when you left?
I did. He loaded me up. I had a whole box full of junk. Some of it's on the table right now. That's another thing that's kind of cool, too, is every once in a while somebody comes up and just offers you something that they think would look good on your table. So can't beat that. You didn't have to do anything.
Absolutely.
So that's kind of nice.
No, it's really nice. And I think that's one of the good things about coming to places like Havoc. You get that community, so you form those relationships. And so it's not just people you play games with. You end up forming real friendships.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't think I'd have any of the other friends I have if I wasn't involved in this hobby. You know, I'd probably just be hanging around the house, sipping soda and watching TV.
Yeah.
You know?
Boring.
You don't meet anybody that way.
No.
But, I have a bunch of kids lined up, already picked out the characters for my game. I think I'm going to have a pretty good session. I was thinking maybe nobody would show up.
What time do you start?
Two.
2 to 6, right?
Yeah, I think so. 4 hours.
Afternoon slot, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It's a good game. It's a very good game.
Can you give us a precursor? What's going on in the game?
What's going on? Yeah. Well, I got 3 different games this weekend, but this particular one that's coming up is Return of the Hang High Dragon. So I've got everybody running around the table trying to collect cargo so they can turn it in to buy a squad or artifacts. And when the game's all over, whoever has the most artifacts and money will be the winner. Which is pretty hard to do if you're buying artifacts and running out of money, more or less. And about 2/3 of the way of the game, I announced that we hear some kind of a rumble off in the distance, and soon the dragon appears on the table. And he's not quite up to par yet, so he's not blowing flames or anything, but he's out to kill basically everyone on the table, and I get to do that.
Nice.
Well, that's a fun part.
Right. So I take a fistful of beads, and I've been making the fistfuls bigger lately because they're killing me too fast. And every time they hit me, they take a bead out of the box and put it in the reject box. And then once those are all gone, the dragon's dead, and they can go back to playing the game.
Sounds like fun.
Cool. Nice.
Yeah, and then, usually after that's all done, there's an hour or less left in the game. And people are trying to figure out ways to cheat. But
enhanced play.
Yeah. Alternate play.
There you go.
Yeah. But lately, and this is the reason, I used to do it whoever has the most money or whoever has the most artifacts, but it's pretty easy to hoard one or the other, so now I make it most money and most artifacts. And it's pretty hard for anybody, but last couple of games, nobody's really been able to do it.
Wow.
That's awesome. Yeah, so definitely stop by and watch a little bit of the game.
Yeah,
sure.
It's up your alley.
It's kind of fun.
I know, it's definitely up my alley.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah. It's I don't know, I've had such a good time with it that I don't want to stop doing it. You know, sometimes it's almost a burden, but not really, because it's just so much fun. Especially when the kids come up to you and they say, well, what can I do with this artifact? Well, what do you want to do with it? You know, and then they come up with some crazy thing. I said, no, you can't do that. Or I'll let them roll a die for it. Okay, yeah, okay, you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but you got to keep in mind, now you don't have that artifact anymore. So
it's true.
You know.
Right.
But I love at the end when everybody's trying to cancel the other guy's artifact. You know, I'm stabbing you in the back. Oh, no, you're not. And then they use them all up. So that pretty much knocks them out of the game.
So you leave it pretty open with what you can do with the artifacts. And then
I try to. I try not to be too much of a policeman, but if I think that somebody's really getting over. You know, most of the time I don't even pay attention. Somebody will come up and tell me, oh, this happened, and it's a great story, but I completely missed it.
Right.
You know? So I love when people do that.
And how many players do you have today for this one?
I don't know, but at TotalCon I had 15, and it was almost overwhelming, but it was great, too.
Cool.
Awesome. It was wild, yeah. Because one of the things I do in the game, which I kind of hate, but it's the only way I've been able to figure out to make it work, is I just read off the characters' names, and now it's your turn again.
Yeah.
Sure.
And if you're already going, I don't care. Just take another turn afterward. Because if I don't do it that way...
Bugs down.
Well, yeah, when I first started doing this, I did it off the deck like, oh, you're the ace of spades, your turn. Well, everybody else is standing around staring at the table, you know, when you have that many people, so I just couldn't do it that way.
Right, right.
And then I got the rule, I think I've mentioned this before. Matter of fact, probably just about everything I say I mentioned before. But the time comes when somebody is having an argument with somebody over, it's my turn. Because my name came out first, Well, I usually try to remember to tell everybody at the beginning of the game is, I don't really give a crap. You know? And if you're going to drag me over there.
The golden rule.
No whining.
Yeah, if you're going to drag me over there to make a decision of who's going to get to go first, then I'm gonna make you sorry you called me over there. There's going to be some kind of punishment for that. So
you can tell you're a parent.
Yeah, so usually when I tell them that, they don't bother me about it. And they roll a die is what I suggest.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, die resolution.
Yeah, keep the game going.
Do it. Yep.
You know? Because I don't know if anybody realizes it when they're playing the game, but this one of my my best things I heard from one of my players is my dad says, your game has no point to it. And I kind of took that as a compliment.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm not sure if it was meant that way, but that's what I'm going for. So I was pretty happy to hear that.
It's open-ended. That's the polite way to say that.
Well, yeah, and I'm not against all the structured stuff either. I mean, it all makes sense. But, you know, that's a little more adult-level gaming.
Yeah.
And that's not really what I'm doing.
Well, open worlds are all the thing. I mean, you look at video games, you look at World of Warcraft. Open world, you can do whatever you want. And, I mean, Grand Theft Auto, like, that's what the people want to play. Kids want to play. Everyone wants to play. Well, do anything you want.
I'm afraid to play those things because I'm afraid if I get it hooked on it, I'm not going to do the stuff I'm doing.
Right.
So.
You would.
But
think.
You're doing it on the table.
Yeah.
Well,
that's what I want to be doing.
That's what we're saying.
Yeah.
I think that's what he's saying.
I mean, I can't do it at home because I don't have the room to set this thing up.
Right. Not yet.
Well, that's the problem, though. If I set that up in the carriage house, it may never come down.
Oh, that is a problem.
Yeah.
Because
so
it's not easy to get up there for you, is it? There's
a
ladder, right?
A ladder, yeah. But I mean, I think I can get all the stuff up there, no problem, set it all up. But once it's all set up, it's like, am I really going to bring this out of here? I don't think so.
No, never.
Right.
Yeah, so that'll be the end of Hang High. And so I don't think I'm going to put it up there.
But that would free you up to playing a lot more games when you, because you'd still come, right? It's not like you say,
well,
no,
yeah,
I'm
but
up.
I mean, I like running this, so I'm just going to keep on doing it until it croaks me.
It's a good game.
It's just fun. You know, I mean, if I went a whole season and nobody showed up to play the game, then I guess I'd have to, okay, we've got to reboot here, do something else. But
I don't think you're at risk of that.
Yeah, no.
Well, that's
it's
the thing.
Popular.
People are showing up, and I feel like I'll disappoint people, and I really don't want to do that. Yeah. If they want to play, I want to play too. So,
what if you're playing, what is your game of choice?
Oh, my game of choice. Gee. Well, Cottage and Glory.
Yeah?
Yeah, my brother-in-law Rich runs it all the time at his house. He's running it at Huzzah. And I don't think you can have a bad time playing that game. I mean, I guess you could, but the thing I like about it is you don't have to do any bookkeeping.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one other thing I really can't stand about games, I'll put up with it, especially if I got somebody who'll do the calculating, because
yes.
I'm not doing
yeah,
it,
yep, yep.
Is modifiers. I can't stand them,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, I'm the general. What am I modifying mm-hmm. for, you know? Should have some peon over here doing it for me, and that's what happens in Carnage and Glory. You know, they does all the bookkeeping.
Well, it's
for
electronic.
Yeah. Now, of course, then you can screw up like the game where I, my general. This is one of the early Carnage and Glory setups. My general has orders to attack, and I think I'm intimidating my opponent just by having these guys here that might attack, and so I don't attack.
Mm-hmm.
And then Rich tells me that the computer just told him that they shot my general because he didn't attack. So, I was a little disappointed.
A little mutiny?
But I thought that was pretty cool, too, you know?
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, and then he ran the Battle of Belmont one time. We used to have a community room where we used to run games, and one of the guys got General Grant killed in the Battle of Belmont, and I thought that was kind of neat, too.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, I was running another game, but that happened off to the side. I got to at least get informed on that one. You know, he never got elected president or anything. That was it, man. He was dead.
Well, that's how you avoid all the corruption. Alleged corruption, I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, it's kind of unavoidable. We should be talking about that stuff. Don't get me going. Oh, my God. No, especially at a con.
I'm going to say Carnage and Glory is on my list of games that I really want to play.
Yeah, me too, actually. It's
I highly recommend
never played it.
It's probably the only one set of rules that I can't even really say I know the rules.
Yeah.
But Bill Greenwald said something good one day that that made sense to me. He had been invited over to play at Rich's, and we were doing Rev War, I think. And he'd never played the rules. He goes, but if you know the tactics, then it really shouldn't matter. And he's right. It doesn't. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what's nice about those rules.
Yeah.
And matter of fact, I don't necessarily know the tactics, and I'm still doing okay.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a good game. I think it can be a little slow if you try to run it with more than six people, though.
Sure, but that's any game. I think you're really going to slow things down after six. Six seems to be that...
right.
really high number.
Yeah, for the battle games, that's nice. You know, I have one guy on each flank and somebody in the center. And A.J. Wright has a system, too, that I haven't played yet. And it's kind of on the same idea, but it's different. Like, you guys all have a tablet. And everybody knows what the other guy's doing. Yeah, Rich has played it a couple of times, and he says it's not the same as Carnage and Glory, but it's pretty cool. He likes it. So if Rich recommends it, it's worth giving a try. So if you ever see AJ's game, I bet he's running something.
He's running out of his
eye. Yeah, he must.
I think so, yeah.
It was full, of course.
Of course. Yeah, all the games I try to get into were full.
Yeah, it was probably full before he signed it up. But yeah, he actually ran it over at that AdlerCon that we just had over.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he ran it over there.
Okay.
But he ran it upstairs in the store, so I didn't get a chance to get any pictures.
Yeah, because you were in the other space.
I was in the other space, right. Uh-huh. And that was fun, too. Alan Martell brought his two grandchildren, and it's a good thing because I was pretty short on players, but they were great. He's telling me thanks for having the patience, but they were so funny. I had a good time with them. It was a blast.
You're good with the kids.
Well, I don't know. I asked my kids about that.
You're good with the kids who play in the game. Yeah,
I can handle them for 4 hours.
You can't ask your own kids how you're doing.
Yeah, no. You know, that's a little biased.
Yeah, you know what they're going to say.
You said? Go ahead.
Well, the kids like to have fun, and if you just keep it simple and don't make it too complicated, don't expect too much from them.
Right.
Because I don't expect anything from them, really, you know, so. What I like the best experiences for me running this game is when I have not necessarily equal, but almost equal amounts of adults, young adults, and some younger kids, and everybody has got the right attitude, not so worried about crushing the little kid.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
And it's a lot of fun, really fun. Some of the stuff that people say just blows me away. I think that's the kind of, I can't stop doing it just because of that.
It's a highlight. It really is.
Well, it's a drug for me.
Well, it's good to know that people look forward to it. You know?
Well, yeah. I never thought it would turn into that, but yeah. Now that it is, I look forward to it anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's kind of a drag when nobody shows up. That happened to me at TotalCon. I don't know how many years ago it is now. So I just kind of thought, well, I guess this place isn't really the kind of place that they want to play this game. But, you know, people don't know that you're doing it necessarily.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know? So I don't think anybody should have sore feelings when people don't show up for your game. It just played out that way. Don't stop doing it just because of that.
I think you need to at least give it one more try just because it might be an off year or something weird happened. Yeah. Weather like we have now. I mean, I know there's a lot of games that got canceled or not as many people.
Right.
You can't say, oh, I it didn't go well this year at Havoc. Try it again next year because you never know. It might actually be really good. You might have the game that people want to play. It was an off time.
And part of it is definitely what you're... I mean, if it's a recognizable title, it's easier to get people to be like, hey,
people see Bolt Action, I'm going to play Bolt Action, right?
You know.
Well, that's one of the reasons why I keep hanging high in almost all the titles of the games I run now.
Right, but then that's just it.
Yeah.
It's starting people
to get your brand recognition.
Yeah, because some people know the name of the game rather than me.
Yeah.
You know? So that that helps. As a matter of fact, that's what I tell them. I said, just look for Hang High if you want to play, you know. But,
You definitely can't judge it by one experience. So we had a slow start at TotalCon when we started doing it.
Yeah, the first year, did we max out on players? I don't remember.
First year, no.
So we had like, what, two or four people played?
I think we had two people registered and one guy walked in.
Yeah.
And you guys have shifted what you played, though.
We have.
We have. It's always historical, but
we've
run Black Powder there now and Bolt Action and Muskets and
Tomahawks. Oh, you're going to be mad at me when I make my Ghost Pirates.
Ghost Pirates. Those things, the Ghost Pirates should be showing up.
Have we officially committed to shifting our focus from Black Powder to the pirate game for TotalCon?
We have to see what the theme of the con is going to be. If the theme of the con is actually going to be
pirates,
like they've been talking about, then yes.
It seems like that's in the lead. That's true.
If that's the case, then we're running Blood and Plunder.
And if not, are we?
If not, we'll do something yet to be determined.
I think Blood and Plunder, whether we run it at TotalCon or not, would be good maybe for us to consider running something at Havoc next year.
Well, one of the things I notice about TotalCon is it's really big on other styles of gaming other than miniatures. So
Board games and role-playing games.
If a lot of people don't sign up for a miniatures game...
Yeah, I never get on
it. That shouldn't bother you, you know?
I don't mind if people don't sign up. When people sign up and then don't show up...
Somebody was just talking about
that. We had that this year, too.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
Actually, it was Ed Petrolak mentioned to me. He goes, I liked it better when they charged you. First of all, the game master went home with enough cash to pay for his trip.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was only $2 or $3 or something like that. But if you ran a bunch of games, you get a few bucks.
Right.
And, you know, most people are going to show up for your game if they got $2 invested in it.
Yeah.
That's true.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Right.
So I never thought of it that way. I thought of it as, like, I don't want to spend $2.
Yeah, me too. I was like, do I really want to go to this to pay for the event ticket for it? And
yeah.
I kind of, yeah. I mean, it's an odd situation because they give, Totalcon gives us review access. So when in the same boat as most people who go in and you pay the, what is it for the weekend? I don't remember. It's like $60 now?
I don't even know.
$70, something like that?
It must be in that neighborhood.
Pretty expensive.
Because, I mean, they front-loaded it. It's really what it is. Mm-hmm. And so that way, like Havoc, although Havoc's, we said it's very $40 for the weekend. It's amazing.
You get any pay. That's bad.
No, not at all. And even if you're in a game, $10 or that or whatever. Yeah. So it's front loaded, so you know, but then you kind of get, I don't know, different ways to look at it, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I'm too cheap to pay that $10 to play a game. That's why I run a game every session to keep me busy.
Yeah.
but last year, Vic Gregor ran a Burma game, and I want to start doing some stuff in Burma, so they got the $10 out of me last year, first time ever.
Wow.
And
mark it down, people.
And I don't regret it, because I had a good time. It was a great game. Vic always runs a good game.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we should make sure Greg Belovic knows, so that way they can make sure there's always a Burma game here to get your $10.
Oh, come on. Well, yeah, I need that $10.
Burma, huh? Interesting. it makes sense, though, because it's the general theater that you're interested in over there, Southeast Asia.
Well, yeah, the stuff I've been reading's drawn me in that direction. I'm actually reading a book right now that's based in India, which I didn't think was going to even come close to hitting the Burma thing, but now it's 1929. And
is that because of Huzzah, with the theme shifting over towards the Khyber Pass and all that kind of stuff in Afghanistan?
No,
and
he's shifting west? This is something that's been happening ever since I ran. Actually, I never wanted to do anything after the Boxer Rebellion.
Okay.
You know, until I got into the pulp stuff. And then Robert Mulligan, who just walked by, says, here, you got to read this. And he gives me Tuckman's book on Stillwell. I'm like, I never wanted to get into World War II. And I got to buy more stuff. And, you know, I don't totally regret it, but my wallet does.
Yeah.
I hear you.
So I'm collecting a Japanese army right now, and I got a bunch of Chinese stuff that is really like the warlord era, but they're going to represent whatever I need them to represent.
Yeah, so. That's fine. You use as is.
Yeah, I'm not as hard line or on the historical stuff like everybody else is.
Right.
You know, and that's why I can call it the Battle of Shanghai tonight instead of the Battle of Shanghai, which it's based on.
Yeah.
Tonight's my actual historical game.
Okay.
For me.
Yeah, we played that.
my like, version of history.
Like Payne's version of history.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Hey, there's a book there somewhere.
Yeah, maybe,
there is a book there.
Yeah. The way everything should have gone down. Payne.
Well, it really comes down to if you kill the most in the game, you win.
Yeah.
Keeps me busy, too. I'm doing slash marks for every dead guy. And then we
the extent of your bookkeeping.
Yeah, that's about it. I don't mind doing it if I don't have to figure out what I'm doing in play. So, right. You know. Mm-hmm. Although, if I can get somebody to do it for me, I'm not against that either.
I think you need an assistant GM. I do.
Are you volunteering?
Do you know I would? I really would.
If
we worked it out, I would, absolutely.
Oh, well, I'll have to keep that in mind.
Speaking of somebody who's had John as an assistant GM.
Yeah. Oh, not this again.
John Reinhardt Battle of Hanghai.
I haven't even given it the okay, and I'm already reconsidering.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. He'll just rebrand it for you.
Next, you're going to make fun of me for Moana again. Oh, jeez. Hamilton, one word.
Good Lord.
I can't believe you weren't familiar with it, really.
With what?
Hamilton.
I am familiar with Hamilton. I just don't care for it.
Oh, that's
much
different.
Like I don't care for people dancing at their desk with a theme song from
Moana.
Wow. Oh, you guys didn't see that on Facebook?
No.
I'm dancing to the soundtrack from Moana. Why aren't you?
Because
I'm not
Thank
a 15-year-old girl.
Thank You is a great song, as is Shiny.
Because I can't dance.
Which is based off
if I could,
melodically, the song from Hamilton.
Is it?
Yeah. Listen to Shiny, okay? You got to.
I don't know Hamilton, so. But
I know.
Yeah,
but listen to that.
We don't want
and listen
Hamilton
to the first song that King George does in I don't have
any. I do have a 7-year-old daughter, so I'm familiar with
and
Moana.
And you could swap the words, and they basically the same song. You'll be back, I think, is the name of the song.
Your 7-year-old should be playing Hang High.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking of that.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, we need
have you started?
You got me there. Yep.
You know, there's some dopes out there that think
any
women
interest.
Don't
oh yeah, no, we play, we play. They
so she's into
yeah.
it all.
Yeah,
then?
we do a little like light D&D type stuff.
Okay,
her and I. She likes the idea of playing her miniature individually, and sort of like running it around and killing the monsters and that sort of thing.
Oh, she's all set for my perfect. Game already.
So, but yeah. that's the sort of yeah. stuff that I like to run too. So
yeah, she's definitely up for a good game mm-hmm. of Hang High.
I think you need to bring her next time.
Next time, I might not be recording, but...
That's, hey, you get her to play a game, you play with her, that's fine.
Are you guys recording all day? How long are you doing this?
This is our first episode. We're going to be doing another episode in a little bit where we review the Wargaming's terrain.
Oh. So, as long as I hang around, I can distract you from the main subject.
Yeah, you could. You are very good at that, Mr. Bane.
Yeah, pretty much. Whatever that subject is, we won't be talking about it long.
So, I actually had a question, because when we were talking about Blood and Carnage, right?
Mm-hmm.
You said the tactics.
Carnage and Glory.
Oh, sorry, Carnage and Glory. Yeah. Right.
Blood and Plunder.
I'm getting Blood and Plunder and that's Carnage
okay.
and Glory.
I call it the pirate game, so that's okay.
I've created a new game.
Because there's only one pirate game.
We can always handle another game.
Yeah, right. So you were saying the tactics hold true.
I think so, yeah. But then, you know, I'm not a tactician, but...
sure, no, but it...
But yeah,
there
yeah.
are so many war games that, like, right. it's just kind of
I mean, there's the,
move
the,
forward and,
yeah.
Well, there's
smash.
A couple of things about war games. You know, I'm off the subject again, probably. But, like, I don't know if you guys have ever played Valiant Bennett. The one thing I like about that game is Grand Tactical. Mm-hmm. So you're not necessarily the guy that has to worry about whether these guys are in line or in square or whatever they are because
that's nice.
They know how to do that.
Sure.
So that's not a problem.
Well, they should be trained.
Now, in Carnage and Glory, you do need to go into square. You need to go into line. And not that I don't like that. You know, it's different. That's the only thing. You know, I like them both.
Well, you're freed up, right, from a lot of the other stuff, so you can focus
on
that.
I'm not worrying about modifiers and all that stuff. You know, like I'll tell Rich, unit 51 is firing at, and then you tell me what the name of your unit is. And he puts it in there and they say, inconsequential losses.
Mm.
And I'm like, oh, that's a bummer. You know, but you know, it kind of tells you what's going on, too. You're like, you know, maybe I shouldn't have wasted my ammo with this cannon. They're too far away, you know?
Yeah.
Or you know, same thing with the infantry and stuff like that. And then the more I play it, you know, not being a especially my big interest in history is kind of the Victorian era.
Mm-hmm.
So this stuff is pre that. So I don't really read anything on it or anything,
right?
You know, except what comes across my radar. But Rich does. You know, he's
he knows all. Of
yeah, he knows that stuff. You know, if I have a question, I'm pretty sure he can answer it.
Right.
But you like I said before, you do have to go in a line, and you got to kind of figure out which way you want your troops mm-hmm. to go and all that. Another thing I like about it is none of the figures come off the table. So if you're not kind of paying attention to this unit that's fighting across from you, you know what you've been doing to them. You don't really know.
I find
that's
that
interesting.
That would be difficult for me.
Right?
Yeah.
Like we have a whole list of our army and how many guys are in each unit. But I don't have a list of your
around. How are you supposed to have a drink and play at the same time?
you got to work that out. But
you mean you don't have someone bringing them to you?
Usually, although in the Civil War game we played one time, this didn't happen this way. But most of the time, if you go in and you charge somebody in this game, whether you won the battle or not, don't try to do too many more things with those guys.
Right,
you know,
right. Yeah.
They're kind of done.
Sure.
And I like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I like about it is usually when we get down to about 75% casualties or 70%, that's the end of the game.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
You know, it's not like this guy. I played a point con, and the guy's probably a general now. This guy is some cadet named Jerry, right? We're the Finns fighting the Russians. It's over. It's long over. Jerry. It's all over. He goes, oh, we still got guys. I'm like, oh, man, I don't want this guy to be my officer. But, so I left. I was good. Hey, those fans are all done, man. I'm
going
to spend another half hour. You take care of my three guys I got left, Jerry. All right?
I'm good, thanks.
Yeah. I don't need to get them killed,
Time
too.
To concede.
Yeah,
fine.
Yeah, we lost. Yep. Yeah.
It happens. Why don't we move on to mailbag?
Mailbag. We're on mailbag.
So mailbag's one of my favorite parts of the show.
We were on mailbag when you start when you came over.
That's okay.
We were just getting there.
Wow. Well, we just started the very long scenic route back. That's okay.
That's all right.
All roads come back to mailbag. I love it, though, because listeners write in, and I love hearing from listeners, what they have to say. Usually nice things, actually.
Yeah, well, even if they're bad things, it's good to hear it.
It is. Like, I'm a firm believer of getting constructive criticism. So, like, if you're just like, I hate your show, and you might, okay, that's a completely valid feeling to say I hate Wargaming Recon. But I don't really need to know that because it doesn't help me to make it better for you or to fix for other people who might be feeling the same who don't speak up about it. Let's make it better and do what we can. Be like, I dislike when you do such and such, and actually... Feedback for today that we're going to share.
So you just say you suck too, or what?
Well, since we are family friendly, we don't use such language. But
we're going to have to ask our friend down in Australia to get that one.
We say thank you for your feedback, and glad you took the time to write in. So, via Twitter, which you can also leave a comment for us on Twitter, wargamingrecon.com/tweet.
I don't tweet.
I'm sitting at a table.
I came up the other day too. He asked me if I was on Twitter, and I'm like, no. What does that get me? What does it do? I'm on Facebook. That's about the.
I knew enough not to ask if you were on Snapchat, though. So
this again, not a 15-year-old girl.
Yeah. I wouldn't even be on Facebook except my wife wanted to cheat in some game.
Oh yeah, Candy Crush, I'm sure, right?
Something like that. Yeah. I don't know who cares.
So listener at HDDB Steven said in regards to our episode 178, that was Totalcon 2017, he said, quote, it was good, but too much a review of the hotel. Earlier shows have more on games, unquote. So Steven, I want to say, first of all, I thank you for writing in. And I agree with you, actually. But there's a point. So, Adrian, you and I talked about this a little bit, right?
We did, and there's a definite point. He's right. We talked a lot about the hotel, and he wanted to hear more about the con. But the thing is, that was Totalcon's first year at that new venue. So the venue, unfortunately, was a big part of the con experience. And a lot of things about it didn't really... They weren't up to par.
Well, I'm going to revise that just a little bit. They've been there before, but it's the first time that we've been there when they've been there.
They haven't been there in years.
For years. It's been a long time. Yeah. It has been.
So essentially it was a new venue for them.
Yeah, well, the con has changed too. I'm sure it's not the same con that they were running back.
No, it's not.
No.
And we did talk a lot about the hotel and the problems with the various aspects of the
hotel. I agree too much, so, but it's important. We really had to because if you go into it, I think you needed to know about some of the experiences we had with the hotel itself, and not the con's fault for any of them.
Keep in mind, you're doing it again.
Yeah.
You're doing it again.
We're explaining why we did it the first time.
Don't need
True.
To explain.
It was funny, though.
Well, I mean...
I laughed.
There are issues.
Well, you know what? I
but
I
it's
think,
not like we ignored
the
games.
I bet the con appreciated it. You know, because they want to hear that stuff. That,
but the hotel
they
didn't.
That matters.
They
to
do
them.
Want to hear that stuff.
Yeah, well, the hotel needs to get their act together.
I told the hotel, and I got it. Thank you for writing an email from them.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Next year, we won't be talking about the hotel so much. Assuming
no, of course
problems
not.
Are fixed, which I'm sure they will be.
But like we talked about the other games, things that were going on, the events that were happening. It's not like we ignored everything. We talked about Frostgrave a lot, actually.
Yeah, one thing we need to do at Totalcon is actually play more games. We never have time.
We do. Totalcon is very much a working convention for us.
It is.
And it's going to be more so next year, too.
Well, maybe you guys could just pick one slot to not do that. You know?
We do.
I'll tell you what. Next year, I'll go, not help out, and just play a bunch of games, and I'll let you know how it was.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. That's actually not a terrible idea.
I'll be the field reporter for you.
Well, you'll have to take our special.
I don't know where I put it. The Tascam DR07 MK2.
It's a great time. Having a great time. How are you guys doing? Doing well with it already.
And you shove the mic in their face saying, so... Do you also have fun playing this game with me? Like, dude, get that out of my face.
Get out of my face.
Just roll your dice. I need to kill your guy.
Yeah. Nope.
That's what they will say. But that's what we have for feedback. And actually, we have a lot of feedback. I'm saving it up for an episode. So for the pet peeves episode, the five con pet peeves.
Yeah, I never got mine in. I slept too late that day. I was going to be on that show.
You can send it in as feedback.
I have a pet peeve, though.
Do you want to save
sounded
it?
That's not like too much of a rant. That whole show...
That was a concern. So people
it should have been.
Shared a lot of their convention pet peeves, and rather than putting them into mailbag, which could fill 2 years worth of episodes with their feedback about that episode, I think we're going to do A Convention of Pet Peeves Part 2, listener right. version.
And three oh, man.
And they three
were,
and four.
They were loading them on.
Oh, well, wow. They really were. There was a ton. And I did say, please.
There were some fantastic ones, too.
Oh, my God. Really good ones.
I don't have any complaints. I had a great time.
See, I don't think of a pet peeve as a complaint so much as a area for improvement.
So, for example, you want the con to be a little bit closer to your house.
In
right.
his house.
Right. Can't you just do it? You know, if they did it in Jonathan's backyard, we could eliminate one. Of course, we still have all those other pet peeves to work on. But.
Signs on the tables. We talked about that. They're fixing that, actually.
Okay, well, that's good to know.
But, like, the low-hanging fruit stuff, any of those things, things that are too difficult or whatever.
When I was listening to the show, there was one thing that crossed my mind, and when I'm on this subject, I like to bring it up. These people are not professionals.
No.
Most of everybody is a volunteer.
Absolutely.
And you really can't expect everything to be fantastic. As a matter of fact, you should expect things to not be fantastic.
You know, I think...
And you'd be a lot happier.
I think all the conventions do a really good job of
yeah,
things.
Well, they do the best they can with what
absolutely.
They got. You know,
and I mean, people need to be mindful of that, too.
Yeah.
No, does that mean that they can't approve? No, of course, everyone, we
no,
can all always approve.
Everybody wants to do a good job.
And I think it's a good thing, as long as people are open to that kind of stuff. I think it's very handy and helpful.
Well, as long as it doesn't sound like you're bashing the crap out of them, you know? Because
yeah.
then people don't go.
No, they don't.
You know? That doesn't help.
I mean, if something's legitimately bad, then people need to know. But if it's not, and even if it is, I don't want to talk about it. Like, I don't want to waste the time talking about stuff that are just
right.
bad.
Well, I want to talk about gaming and play games, so.
I like things that are good.
So, what's next?
So, want to thank our Patreon backers and say that we are $55 away from our next goal, and that sounds like a lot of money, but actually, we're halfway there. And the next goal will allow us to pay a fair wage to our audio editor, Josh Schubert, who's down under, and he makes the show sound good. And it's really important, especially for like what we're recording today, because new location, new equipment, and you get all these extra sounds and things going on.
And so we won't feel guilty anymore about not paying him enough.
Yeah, well, I'm paying him a little bit out of my pocket, actually, for it. And
right, but it would be nice to not have to do that.
Yeah, and I mean, I honestly can't afford to do so. So once we reach this goal, we'll be able to actually pay him what he deserves to pay, because audio editing is a pain in the butt. Every little thing, and he's a pro because he's been on radio. He knows what it should sound like, and he wants it. We all want it to sound good, but he really wants it. And so he wants to do the effort for it, and I appreciate that he does, but we need to reach that goal to make that happen. I want to thank Patrick, Chris Parker from dayofbattlegames.com, and Kyle from Vermont for being Patreon backers and say that you too can be a backer for as little as $1 per month. And doing that will get you episodes before non-backers, and you also get behind-the-scenes content. And we have a variety of other backer levels, kind of like Kickstarter. So you can get levels where you get dice, you can get t-shirts, you can get whatever. So you can pick a level and you get your rewards mailed to you or they might be intangible. You might be thanked by name on the show, which is a really cool and handy thing. I want to remind you to check out the episode guide at wargamingrecon.com/episode guide, oddly enough. And that'll tell you about upcoming shows and episodes and dates and topics and guests and all that kind of cool stuff. I can tell you that episode 181 releases on April 24th, 2017. And it kind of blows my mind. So many episodes already.
Wow. The countdown to 200.
We're getting there. I don't think we're going to get there in the 2017 season, but we'll get there for 2018, I believe.
So you're going to do 1,000 shows or what?
Hey, I don't know. Keep on doing as long as the money's there and people are willing to listen.
Keep doing the next one anyway.
So I want to remind everyone that you can get the show notes for this episode at wargamingrecon.com/WR180. That's wargamingrecon.com/WR180. And that wraps things up here for discussing Havoc 2017. Bottom line, guys, what do you think? Should people come to Havoc? Mike?
People should come to Havoc.
I'm not going to stop coming to Havoc as long as they're doing it.
Hey, Adrian, what do you think?
People should definitely come to Havoc.
Alex, first time, what do you think?
I'm ready to get out there and play some games.
So I've been before, but I love Havoc. I think that's a full endorsement from the team here at Wargaming Recon. You guys got to come. Bring your friends. Bring your family. If you can't make it this time around, you got to make it for 2018. Plan for 2019. As far as I know, they're not moving. They're staying here at Marana's Park in Shrewsbury. Easy to get to, right off Route 9. You can get to it from 495, Route 128, whatever. The Pike, it's easy. And that's what I like. I like things that are easy.
Yeah, this is not a bad trip for me at all.
No, it's good. Just about wherever you live in New England, it's easy to do.
That's another reason why I would hate to not come here, because this is the shortest con I have to travel to.
Okay, makes it handy for you.
OGC is maybe a little bit closer.
But it's good stuff. So Thank you, Mike, for joining us.
Yeah, sure.
So surprised because we saw
well,
you.
Well, I didn't think I would. I thought I'd still be setting the damn thing up.
I'm excited. Know, so. So excited that you were able to pop by.
Yeah, I just was coming over to see what you guys were doing. I didn't think I'd sit down and screw the show up on you.
No, you sat down. You added value.
There it is again.
We're all about giving
like
more than we get.
Yeah.
thank you, Adrian, for being here and for driving. That was a huge help.
You're welcome. I know it's such a huge distance from your house.
I'm never going to live that down. I know I'm not, but that's
okay. I didn't like driving down here. I got to tell you that.
No, and you know, I'm surprised the roads weren't as bad as I thought they were going to be.
Nah, well, you should come from my house.
Oh, no, I bet your area is terrible. That I'm fully expecting.
I was determined to get here.
And Alex, it's so delightful that you were able to make it. I was very surprised when you texted me and said, I think I might be able to go.
Yeah, delightful.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's very handy. And, that's a wrap for all of us here at War Gaming Recon. I want to thank you all for taking the time to listen to this episode of the show. And I want to remind you that no matter how busy you are, no matter how much snow is falling on the outside of your homes, that you know you need to keep on gaming. Are you always on the go? Why not take War Gaming Recon with you? If you use an app like Pocket Casts, you can listen to your favorite episodes of War Gaming Recon and all of the other podcasts that you know and love. Or you can always stream and download the latest episode of Wargaming Recon by heading on over to the show notes for that episode. Wargaming Recon is a proud member of the TSR Podcast Network. Visit wargamingrecon.com/TSRPN for more information and to learn about the other great shows on the network. This recording is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-Alike 3.0 license. Look for Wargaming Recon online at www.wargamingforums.com. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, and Stitcher Radio. You can learn more about this episode by reading the show notes on our blog. Many thanks to Andrew and Court for inspiring the show's name. Thank you for listening, and keep on gaming. Wargaming Recon is dedicated to the memory of longtime listener Andrew, who helped give the show its name. I ask all listeners to join me in a moment of silence in memory of Andrew. Wargaming Recon is made possible by listeners like you. Become a Patreon backer to get behind-the-scenes content and new episodes before everyone else, starting at $1 per month. Visit wargamingrecon.com/Patreon to become a Patreon backer. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They're the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 19th through the 21st, 2017 at the Doubletree in South Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information.